on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? Welcome back to another episode of the YokeCast podcast. I'm John Thayer. We dive into the basketball season here as we get into Summit League play, and as you can look at the Coyote calendars, we've got track and field, tennis, swimming and diving, golf will be starting soon, softball before you know it, everything, track and field getting going, everything getting going here for the spring semester. So it's about to be a busy next few months. We're excited to continue to talk about it here on the YokeCast podcast and all of our channels and platforms as well. This week, we have three student-athletes across two different conversations. One of them was an unprecedented move. South Dakota added two players to the roster before the St. Thomas game, so the start of the calendar year, to try to help fill the void from some of the injuries that this Coyote team has suffered this season. Trent Hudgens and Silas Bennion joined the team. They played a couple of games for the Yotes so far. We'll talk to them about this unprecedented transition and joining a group here midway through the season. The track and field team is set to host the alumni meet this week. They'll get underway with their spring season, indoor first, and then, of course, transitioning to the outdoor season. And that's where we start this week's conversation with Delaney Smith, a senior thrower for the Coyote track and field team. Delaney, back at it for the spring semester, which means the track season going to really ramp up here. You get started a little bit before the Christmas break and then some time off. How do you go through the holiday break and continue to keep yourself ready for the second semester?
So we have a meet at the beginning of December and then have about a month off over Christmas. So that's nice to kind of get back into the training and see what you need to work on and what you're kind of good to roll with through the season. That first meet's coming up here after about a month off. So super excited to get underway just about every weekend now until the end of February.
You're into throws and I don't know, going through high school, if you thought that might be your ticket to college or not, but as you went through kind of high school and thought about college, was it always going to be track and field or did you kind of have some options?
I wanted to play college basketball when I was younger. I was a softball player in Minnesota, so that overlaps with the track season. And then when I was coming into like seventh grade, you kind of got to pick one. So throughout that school year, I was going to do both. And then I decided softball was my third of three sports. So gave track a try and had a lot of success early, which obviously made it more fun. And then shortly after that, I realized that that was going to be my ticket to going to college and something that I could be successful in.
You think back to getting the opportunity to come here to the University of South Dakota, not far from where you're from in Minnesota. But what went through that process and why South Dakota?
So my recruiting process was a little bit weird through COVID. There was no official visits, nothing like that. I was looking at schools in Minnesota, and Minnesota being a lot more closed during COVID made it more difficult. And then you get across the border to South Dakota, and it was the free range of whatever. So that was something I really liked. So I was able to come down here just on my own and kind of get a feel for the town. And I liked how small it was, coming from a small town. So yeah, I wouldn't change my decision if I had the chance. I think it all played out the way it was supposed to.
You've had success at South Dakota in the shot and the weight and the hammer, really all of it. Have you always been into all the different throws or do you have to lock in? I'm sure some are stronger than others.
So in high school, I was a shot put thrower. I also threw discus, wasn't near as successful in that. And still now I throw discus, but it's kind of just another event to do. And I was able to throw a little bit of hammer and weight in high school because my high school coach used to be a college coach, so he had background in that. So then once I got to college, I was maybe a little bit more had a little bit more knowledge than other freshmen coming in, like from the area, since Hammer isn't a high school event. But then one of my teammates, Kenzie Campbell, now Gray, she was from Canada, so they had Hammer in high school, so that was really fun because we were both kind of coming in around the same distances, so I always had somebody who was really experiencing the same thing as me going through college, so yeah.
What goes into it? A lot of times when you take a sport and you go to the next level, it becomes more about obviously building strength, but refining technique and some of that. How much work goes into this stuff so you could throw your best?
Yeah, so as far as practices go, practice like my main two events, which are shot and hammer, and then indoor shot and weight, three times a week, so Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then I throw discus twice a week on like Tuesday, Thursday. Even here in the indoor season, we still throw that twice a week, and then in the fall we lift four times a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, for just around an hour. And then once we start like our competition lifting, we only go three times a week, because when we start to travel on Thursdays or Fridays, it's hard to sneak four lifts in there. So yeah, a lot of heavy lifting, heavy throwing training in the fall, and then kind of tone it back once we get into the competition season and really focus on those explosive movements, throwing with a lot of intensity, and trying to see what technique breaks down when we ramp up the intensity, so that we can kind of focus on those specific parts. Because if it breaks down when you turn up the intensity in practice, it's probably going to break down in a meet. So then we kind of know what to focus on for the upcoming week.
You mentioned you threw disc in high school, but you weren't really successful at it. You're still throwing it a little bit. Has it gotten better?
It has gotten a little bit better. It's just one of those events that, I don't know, I can't get it to go super great. I do still enjoy it because I really am just not as worried about it. So it is a nice little break. I don't get stressed about discus ever because it kind of is what it is, which is fun. I have a lot of fun with it, so.
Which is your favorite event, the one you're most comfortable at?
My favorite event is Hammer. It's just, it's so different from the other throwing events. And it's kind of, I don't know, sky's the limit there for me, I think, which is fun to see. And there's a lot of like different things you can do with it, like variation through like weight throw and stuff inside. And then we throw a lot of different weighted implements too. So that's fun.
You do a lot of events where you got to spin around in circles. Hopefully you don't get dizzy.
No, not super dizzy. Once we move inside and start doing turns, kind of a different environment, I do get kind of dizzy for like a day or two. But outside of that, no, it's pretty good. I don't really focus on anything. It just, so like the light changing kind of makes me dizzy. But other than that, it's been all right. Haven't thrown up for anything from being dizzy, so.
I always wonder with athletes, sometimes people have rituals or things that you do leading up to an event. What's kind of your process as you're on event day, meet day, and you're getting ready, obviously multiple events sometimes, but what's kind of your process to make sure that you're in the zone and ready to go?
Well, I always make sure I travel with my headphones. And I listen to music. I have a playlist that kind of gets me hype about the meet. Other than that, I wake up really early on meet days, not really on purpose. Around like 5:30, I usually wake up just because I'm kind of ready to go. And that's kind of was new last year. I don't know if I was stressed, but I started waking up earlier and it started going well. So I kind of stuck with that, just making sure I get a good night's sleep and get up early and eat breakfast. And it's kind of different every time, like staying in hotels. So kind of keeping the rituals to a minimum is kind of better for me, because then I don't get set in my ways. And then if a hotel has a different breakfast, I'm not screwed from the get. So yeah, just listening to music and waking up early are really the only two things I do. Oh, and I do my hair. But other than that, it's different every time. So
Got to do the hair and make sure that's ready for the event. Delaney, you put yourself in the top 10 at USD in the shot and the hammer and the weight. Doesn't sound like we're going to get there maybe in the disc, but maybe, you never know.
Maybe.
But how do you set your goals? I mean, I'm sure the top 10 lists aren't necessarily your goals. It's nice to be on those, but how do you set your goals as you go throughout the season to put yourself in the best situation for when it comes conference meet? And obviously, everybody's ultimate goal is to qualify for nationals.
Yeah, as far as goals go, it being an individual event, I just kind of try and get better every week. Some weeks you're not feeling as great, you don't set your goals as high, and you can really surprise yourself. A little bit more relaxed, I've definitely had that happen. Showed up to a meet, was like, oh, I feel slow, legs feel heavy, and you hit a PR. So it's fun to see stuff like that. So I kind of go in, set an overall goal for the season, but try to have a lot of small goals week to week, not only based on how I'm feeling, but like what we're when we're peaking for conference. And obviously conference is a really big thing that we look forward to, indoor and outdoor, trying to beat those schools up to the north. So. Yeah, more small goals throughout the season. Otherwise, you focus on one big goal. It's really easy to get lost. It's a really long season. So, yeah.
How do you know, some sports, somebody can have an off game and teammates can pick them up. With you, there's no teammate to pick you up. I mean, sure, there's a team aspect in the end of the day, but for your event, it's you and your performance. And so everybody can see whether you had a good day or a bad day, things like that, and it can't get covered up. How do you mentally go through that, knowing that it's all on you, on your performance?
That's also something that I think I've grown into, just as I've been here, grown as an athlete. You can trick your mind into a lot of things. Last year at indoor conference, I was going into the third round without a mark in weight throw. I had scratched my first two, which is not something I was used to. But trying to relax your nervous system, not too much. You want a little bit of butterfly going on. Don't try and fight that, or you'll make more mistakes. But yeah, it's easy to trick your mind, and just kind of putting yourself in those positions in practice, and it's never the same trying to practice when stuff like that happens. But just having a lot of confidence in your training, you've done this 1,000 times before, and today is no different. So just a lot of positive self-talk, and sometimes distraction, like you go talk to people in between throws, because depending how big the flight is, it can get really long in between there. To just sit with your own thoughts. So, and I'm a social butterfly, so I go talk to people, and then go through drills in between, just really reinforce those positive cues, so I know exactly what to focus on during the throw.
You mentioned it's a long season. You guys have been working out for a couple of months. You had that meet right before the Christmas break, and now you get into the season where it's indoor season and it rolls right to outdoor season. There's not a whole lot of break in between. Even the weather sometimes doesn't know it's outdoor season and thinks it's still indoor season.
Yep.
How do you try to just fight through that, knowing that it's, you know, really for the next 4 months, it's all about competition?
I guess I don't have a super difficult time like staying excited, staying engaged, because like I love it. I love going to meets every week. Just kind of keeping my stress down is like a big thing, because that doesn't help with like training or competing. So just trying to keep it light and fun a lot of times, while also like realizing that competing at a high level, it's fun, and just kind of taking in every minute of like the opportunity that I get.
I'm trying to soak it all up here this year. Obviously you're focused on the season, but what's next for you after track is done?
I'm planning to move back home, to Windham, Minnesota, to be closer to family. Not really sure what I want to do as far as like a career goes yet. I'm getting my master's in business right now, but so there's a lot of ways I could go with that, so I'm excited to find which way works for me. But I know I might not find it on the first try, so I'm excited to get home and start making connections as far as that goes.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing how the season goes. Delaney, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you.
That is Delaney Smith. She is a senior thrower for the University of South Dakota track and field team, hoping to move back to her hometown of Windham, Minnesota. Still searching that for that job, so if you got a connection for Delaney, you could certainly reach out and let her know. She would appreciate that. Men's basketball team went through a portion of the season where they started suffering injuries, and it was injury after injury after injury, and a number of season-ending injuries. Still could get a couple of the guys back for the stretch run of February and maybe into the Summit League tournament. We'll see how things go. But at one point, the Coyotes had seven players, six of which were on scholarship going into the North Dakota State game. Due to an injury during that game and cramping, the Coyotes finished that game with five players. So, South Dakota was able to add two players to the roster. Two former NAIA players, one from Arizona Christian in Trent Hudgens and one from Jamestown University in Silas Bennion. Those two joined the team. They went on the bus after a couple of practices to St. Thomas, and they've played a couple of games in a Coyote uniform. I caught up to both of them this week to talk about this transition and joining a team partway through the season. Silas and Trent, you guys joining the team here mid-season. What has this experience been like for you guys just coming in? You know, you get a couple of brief practices and then get into game mode. Silas, we'll start with you. Like, what has this whirlwind, I would imagine, been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, really just super fun. Like, honestly, super thankful to be here. And yeah, it's been crazy. The body has been sore for sure, just from, you know, jumping in and hitting the ground running. But yeah, honestly, super fun.
Trent, what about for you?
It's been fun. I've been waiting for something to come up this whole time. So I was working out whenever I was down in Arizona, just waiting for an opportunity to pop up. And like Silas said, I'm grateful to be here, and I'm thankful Coach Peterson took his time to actually recruit me, I guess you can say, and bring me onto the team.
I mean, you talked about it. You were actively waiting for an opportunity and trying to remain confident something would come about. How do you keep working and keep your mind right, just thinking that maybe there's an opportunity out there?
I definitely hit a wall, I'm not going to lie. Before I came here, I had stopped working out for a little bit. But before then, I try not to do my workouts or go about my life based on motivation, because that goes up and down. So I just try to stay consistent and disciplined in that, and just hopefully waiting for something to pop up, like I said, and it did.
What was the call like to find out, okay, I have an opportunity to join a team? They're already, you know, almost halfway through their season, the conference schedule's what's left. What was that decision like to use, you know, basically your last year of eligibility on a couple of months of basketball?
It was a quick decision. The only answer I had in my mind was yes. I just wanted to play basketball, so it was a quick decision.
Silas, what about for you? Were you planning on playing more basketball and working out? What were you doing prior to the call?
Yeah, I was actually working a job, traveling back and forth between Oregon and Alaska. So, no, I was not planning to play any more basketball. But funny enough, at the time, I was like, you know, basketball season's in mid-season. I'm like, man, I was really missing it. So, yeah, when the call came, I was just like, no-brainer. Yes, I'm going.
So you had a job, and you decided to leave that job to play more basketball. What went into that decision?
Thankfully, the people that I worked for love basketball, and so I knew they would be all for it, and that was really it. I was just like, man, I feel like I can, you know, get back up to speed fairly quick, and you only get so many chances to play basketball, especially at the Division I level. So, yeah, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, hopefully your job's still there when you get done with all of this. Obviously, your connection to here was Casey Brueggemann, who became the head coach at Jamestown and helping them through that transition of NAIA to Division II, and a former assistant here. How much influence did he have on you getting an opportunity here?
Yeah, he everything. Super thankful for Casey, just from last season, being able to play under him for his first year as a head coach, And then honestly, without him, you know, reaching out to the coaching staff here at USD and vouching for me, you know, I don't think I would be here at all. So super thankful for Casey.
Trent, how about for you? Did you have connections to the staff? I mean, you spent a couple of years at a couple of Division I schools and then played a great career at Arizona Christian. What was your connection? Obviously, you said the decision was easy. It was a yes right away, but did you have a connection here?
No, I actually didn't. So before I had came to South Dakota, ASU was recruiting me at the same time. But South Dakota, they just, well, when ASU texted me, South Dakota texted me that same night, and they were just offering me more things. So I was like, yeah, it's a no-brainer. I don't really want to come off the bench. Well, even though I'm coming off the bench already, I knew I had a better opportunity being here and being able to help the team and being an impactful player.
You both show up, you practice, what, two, maybe three times before the first road trip. You get on a bus with guys that you've barely gotten to know and go to St. Paul, and you both play at least 18 minutes in game number one. I know you talked about the body and how that felt. What was that like to get out there and play, I mean, that many minutes just right away, right out of the gates?
I was ready for it. It's just basketball at the end of the day, and I just want to get out there and play, so whatever coach needed me to do, I was ready to go do.
Was it tough having that bus ride after playing your first game in a while? I'm sure it doesn't help the body recover.
Oh, yeah, that was a long bus ride. Yeah, sorry. The days are all kind of like, it's been a whirlwind the last week. So, but yeah, for sure. That next day after 4 hours sitting there, especially after the two practices and then the game, yeah, it's pretty tight.
You guys have both had a lot of success wherever you've played basketball at. You come into this team midway through, obviously, you know, a lot of injuries on this group. That's what gave you this opportunity. Did you feel like coming into it, you had to kind of earn a little respect from some of the guys on the team? And how do you go about that without putting too much pressure on yourself?
Yeah, I feel like for me, it was just, I just wanted to come in and, like you said, with the injuries and where the team is at, help in any way. Obviously, everyone wants to get minutes and play. I really, coming in, had no expectation of that, but I'm super thankful for all the opportunities I get and just with the mindset to come in and play good basketball and play the best basketball I can.
Trent, how about for you? Is there a lot of pressure to come in and perform right away? I mean, you played, what, 24 minutes, I think, in your first game, 17 second-half points. What clicked in the second half that really got things going for you?
I don't like losing. I've never had a losing record. I just won 30 games last season. So when we were out there, I just wanted to do the best I can to at least show that we're still in the game. And I just wanted to go out there and play my game as well. If I was able to go out there and score baskets or play defense for my team, that's what I was going to do. But I just didn't want to back down and let the game continue how it was going. So
I know you talked about some of your decision had to do with you knew you'd get an opportunity to play a lot if you came to South Dakota for these couple of months. You see, obviously, the injuries that this group has, and you're trying to get your time. What allows you to just make that decision to come here on a team that kind of had struggled a little bit in wins and losses? Obviously, you're talking about winning a lot, but knowing that you had the opportunity to make a big impact.
Yeah, well, really, I've been out for a whole year not playing basketball, so it really didn't matter what the record was. I just know wherever I go, winning follows. So regardless of the record here, I just wanted to come in and try to impact the team as best as I can and get the train rolling with more wins. So.
Silas, you played at a couple of smaller schools before this opportunity. Is this just motivating to get your opportunity and play a little Division I basketball?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you grow up as a kid, like, in all honesty, no one's ever like, I want to go play NAI basketball. It's always like, I want to go D1, and then, you know, if people want to go to the NBA or whatever, that's awesome too. But, yeah, so, like, to have those goals fulfilled, even though it's a crazy circumstance, it's pretty special.
What about for the future? Is there more basketball, or is this it, final ride for you?
I would like to hope that there is more basketball. I think with not, you know, the mindset of the career being done and everything, and then getting this chance, basketball is a super fun game, and it's fun being a athlete, you know, a lot more fun than working a job. So, yeah, I would like to keep playing for sure.
Trent, I know for you, you talked about you kept working out and you kept waiting for opportunities. So I'd imagine your mindset is more basketball ahead.
Yeah, for sure. I want to play basketball as long as I can at the highest level I can too. So more basketball for me for sure.
What was the moment like of joining this team and just trying to get to know guys? Like you talk about basketball is basketball, right? You can go out and play it, but you got to get to know guys and kind of build some of that chemistry. And some of that takes a little bit of time. But what has the first week been like for you guys as you try to adapt to this group?
Yeah, I mean, the group has made it super easy. These dudes are all super young, so they bring a lot of young energy, which is fun, especially for us older dudes. But yeah, they've been super welcoming, the coaching staff, the players. It's been awesome.
Same experience for you?
Yeah, it wasn't really hard. Like at some of the other schools I've been at, there's certain groups that dudes just hang out with. Here it doesn't seem like that's the case. They welcomed me with open arms, and like Silas said, the team made it really easy to just come in and play basketball.
When this team wrapped up their game in Fargo against North Dakota State, they had five healthy guys, you know, a couple of guys dealing with some injuries. And it just felt like, you know, that was kind of the breaking point of this team on what would the rest of the season be like. You guys came in and it feels like a renewed energy. Was that your goal, to bring some energy to this group? Obviously, just play the game and sometimes that energy follows, but it feels like a lot of positive energy over the last two games.
Yeah, definitely. That was my goal. Like I said, I'm a winner, and wherever I go, winning follows. And the only thing I wanted to do was just get here and help the team start winning.
Yeah, I would say for when I first got here, I was just so happy to, like, go play college basketball again. But now that I'm in it, and again, back to that winning mindset, it's like, okay, like, it's go time. You know, I felt like the game the other day against Denver was not a make or break win, but I feel like we needed something like that, even being here for such a short amount of time. So like we needed a good win under our belt, and we were able to do that, which is super, super fun.
Silas, you spent a couple of years in North Dakota, so you know what we're about to go into this weekend. Trent, you left Arizona to come up and go to a town that's going to be a high of -2 on Saturday and play basketball. Did you consider that at all?
I knew what I was getting myself into, but I'm not going to lie. I didn't know it was this cold out here, and I am not ready to be in that -2-degree weather. I hate it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if you think it's been cold around here, you're in for something this weekend up in Grand Forks. But hey, that's what life's about, right? Experiences, yeah. And some of that. What's the goal now for you guys? Obviously, at the end of the day, winning in basketball is the goal. But what do you feel like you have to do over the next couple of weeks to continue to grow with this team and make sure that this group has an opportunity to play well at the end of February and early March?
Yeah, I would say, for me personally, just keeping to get better every day at basketball, improve my skills, and get back to the player I feel like I can be. And with that, grow as a team and just keep getting better every day, like I feel like we've been doing with the kind of renewed energy that Trent and I have brought. That's helped. And then just being able to share the ball better, play defense, all that.
What about for you, Trent? What's the growth like, the hope here over the next couple of weeks?
Really just to get better every single week that I'm here. Not just individually myself, but with the team as well. And just learning my way to fit in with the team the best way I can without, I don't want to step on nobody's toes at the end of the day, but I also have to come in and play basketball myself and make that impact like I want to. So just get better every single day and just improve every single week with basketball individually and with the team.
I feel like with experience, your voices will continue to grow as you continue to work with this team. You talked about you don't want to step on anybody's toes, but at the end of the day, you know how to win and you know how to lead because that's what you've done in your career. At what point do you, jump in and just say, this is how it's going to be if I'm going to be around and, you know, kind of have that leadership voice?
Yeah, I really start establishing it right now. But, you know, I'm new. People already have their roles established and all that. But I am going to take a stand very soon and just try to just be the best version of me that I can be. And still just trying to go out and play winning basketball no matter what. But it'll happen very soon.
Aside from the weather, what's been the biggest adjustment for you in this?
Really nothing. I was prepared for really everything I was coming into. Really the only big adjustment is the weather.
Yeah. What about for you, Silas?
I don't know. I mean, I've been out in the Midwest before. I'd just say, maybe getting back into that competitive athlete mindset where it's like, I mean, it's been pretty easy and it's been fun to get into that, but it's like this is the new grind. This is what I guess my focus is on, and I'm super thankful for it.
Give you both the chance here. If anybody gave up on this group, you know, seeing all the injuries, now you guys are here. Why should they come out and watch this team play?
Because every time we step on the floor, we're going to be a better team than we were the last time we stepped on the floor.
Yeah, it's a new energy to the team. And I know there was a lot of injuries and a lot of people were kind of giving up on the squad, but I wouldn't do that because it's going to be a quick turnaround and we're going to get this train rolling.
All right, we're excited for it, guys. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck, and we're glad to have you on board.
That is Trent Hudgens and Silas Bennion, and you can watch them play anytime the Coyotes men's basketball team is on the floor. Two guys that have shown so far they play extremely hard, and you can tell from that conversation both players really, really want to win. All right, before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. Thursday night, the Coyote men's basketball team is back at home. It's tropical night at the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. The Coyotes take on Kansas City. The Roos announced this week they're moving on from Marvin Menzies as their head coach at the end of the year, but he will coach for the remainder of the season. Could be an energetic, inspired team from Kansas City playing the Yotes on Thursday night. Friday afternoon, the tennis team will be taking on Mount Marty in Sioux Falls at the Huther Center. Then on Saturday, track and field will host the alumni meet, while women's basketball is at home against Denver University in the Native American Heritage Game. Men's basketball will be at North Dakota on Saturday to play the Fighting Hawks. Looking ahead to next week, the men's basketball team is back in action on Wednesday when they play at Omaha. Women's team will play the following night, Thursday, at Omaha as well. Lots of things going on in Coyote Athletics. To stay up to date on all of it, for schedules, results, ticket information, and more, go to goyotes.com. That's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. And as always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.